The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster with you as we wait for the rain to begin. Hopefully we'll get some rain and maybe a little more than a few drops that will break the over 100-day spell without any measurable rain. I mean, we need some good rain. Ray Allen's on the other side of the glass. He does such a great job for us here during the noon hour. He produces and engineers our program. Together, we welcome you to the program. It is Buckmaster on a Thursday, and want to note, I've got the flag outside the Buckmaster household, and it is Flag Day, the 14th of June, 2018. Fly Old Glory proudly. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice. It's AM 1030 KVOI. Of course, got the worldwide live streaming, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts always available for you, again, on my website. So check it out. Gabriel Trujillo, Dr. Trujillo, joins us for his every other month visit to the program. We've been trying to keep to that schedule, and I think we've been pretty good about it. Dr. Trujillo, how are you, sir?
I am doing very well, and I join you in wishing everybody a happy Flag Day. Yeah. I as well have our stars and stripes flying in front of my condo, and I hope that we do get some rain, however, not of the monsoon variety, because
no.
We want that field repair at Tucson High to get done.
Yeah, we don't want to see cars floating under the underpass downtown. The first story that we want to talk about is this whole TUSD, the county versus the state. So give me a moment to kind of set this up, Dr. Trujillo, for our listeners. The Pima County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously this week to keep unchanged a property tax that funds $16 to $18 million of TUSD desegregation funding. The tax has been part of the primary property tax of TUSD residents for decades, but recent changes to state law attempted to alter how the desegregation tax is classified. State law caps county primary property taxes at 1%. And the desegregation tax has frequently pushed Pima County above that amount. And so in the past, the state, for the past couple of decades, has been picking up the overflow. So SB 1529 allows the tax to be collected as a secondary property tax and therefore allowed to exceed the cap. Well, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, who will be my guest tomorrow here on the program, thinks that change was illegal. So now with TUSD, you've got a budget to adopt here by July 1st. Now, will there be a legal challenge to this SB 1529?
Thank you, Bill. That was an incredible job of setting the stage for what is a fairly comprehensive and complex issue. What the county did very well was collaborate with us and talk to us about the advantages and some of the challenges with some of the options available. We have a mutual goal of getting clarity and a final resolution to this issue. And with the County Board of Supervisors adopting the stance that they adopted, they've opened the door for the Tucson Unified Governing Board to examine a variety of options. Now, I think it's important to note they've not adopted a position at this point. Our board has not taken a stance. We expect to put this before them on June 26th. However, what the County Board of Supervisors has done, they've opened the door for a possibility of Tucson Unified being able to file what's known as a declaratory judgment or legal action against the county. You have a school district that is under a federal court order to receive a certain amount of funds to comply with a federal court order. You have the county's tax agent telling the school district, we are not going to levy the funds. When this action, tentatively, if it is the action that the board approves, when the action is approved, what will happen is it will force an expedience. of either an AG's opinion or the elevation of this situation to the state or federal court level, which will, in a sense, produce, we both hope, a speedy resolution and some clarity to the legality of this particular decision, this particular tax levy issue, and clarity as to when and if the Tucson Unified School District will receive the $17 million that are at stake. This is the portion of the DSEG budget that is at stake at this point.
Now, can you get a judgment in kind of a quick judgment on this? Because what is the deadline for all of this?
Well, we are going to proceed with proposing a fully adopted desegregation budget. The typical number is $63 million. Mm-hmm. That's what we plan as business as usual of putting before our board on June 26th. And the way that the DSEG funding works is it comes in throughout the year. So in a sense, if you look at this on a macro level, we have enough of our DSEG funding to get the year going, to start the school year, to sustain and fund programs up until the Christmas break. The $17 million really starts to become crucial to finish the year. So we would need an absolute resolution and clarity to this issue in the next several months. And the various options that are available, either Tucson Unified or the Pima County Administrator's Office, on their own, on our own, filing for an AG's opinion, that could take months and months and months and months. Mm-hmm. So this action could potentially produce the most expedient review.
All right. Let's go to our live line. Marissa has called us. Marissa, you're with Gabriel Trujillo. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a parent. I have an incoming freshman and a senior, both on Tucson High football team this year. And I'm just wondering, with this new division that they're placed in now, what sort of help are we going to hopefully see from the district with all of their out-of-town games? I mean, why was it that they were moved to a different division?
Okay, I have no idea, but maybe Dr.
That's a great question. And first of all, Marissa, thank you so much for trusting us with your kids and giving us the opportunity to educate them. We know you had choices, and you chose Tucson Unified, so that's much appreciated. Secondly, conference alignments are always a hot topic. They are governed and decided upon by the Arizona Interscholastic Association. They make the final decision. We express our concerns. We express our support for their proposed moves. And what Marissa has pointed out here is the move of Tucson High to the 6A region and putting them in the Metro Valley region category, which requires a lot of travel to Phoenix.
Oh.
They're going to be playing a lot of Maricopa County, specifically Phoenix.
It's called the Metro Valley?
The Metro region, yeah.
But it's very Phoenix and Valley of the Sun oriented.
Absolutely. So there'll be a lot of travel. We're working with Tucson High to make sure that they have a bell schedule that supports the release of student athletes. We're working with them to make sure that the systems are implemented to excuse student travel. The addition of a student advisory period at Tucson High was instituted with regard to our student athletes, where they'll have a 45-minute space during the day, every day, to be able to catch up on things like homework and get tutoring, largely for competitions and out-of-town games. So we really are working hard at this, and we will certainly keep our parents and community posted as we continue to implement supports.
Well, why did they put Tucson in that league? Was it just curious?
It is always a contentious discussion in AIA circles.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophically, do you set up conference regions based off of the sheer size of the student body of the school, or do you set up and align regions according to the academic success and competitiveness of the school's programs? The AIA has tended to lean more towards school size, which puts the ginormous Tucson High into that metro region, that 6A region.
Well, they'll be on the bus a lot, it looks like.
They'll be on the bus a lot.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. I have a lot to talk about with Dr. Trujillo, and we'll get to that in the second segment. And of course, we'll be talking about teacher pay But right now, Dr. Trujillo, we like to tell our listeners at this point about, you know, everybody's hungry. It's lunch hour. How about stopping by Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve and Sherry do just a beautiful job. And if you're thinking about a sandwich right now on that beautifully, that beautiful bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours, am I making you hungry yet, Dr. Trujillo?
I am starting to get really hungry. I may have to head over there.
Yes, up to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's and a link to all of the fine partners we have on the Buckmaster Show. 12:15, be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday during the noon hour, we talk with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. The Friday Roundtable features Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Worldwide Live Listening, BuckmasterShow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, Flag Day, June 14th. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is superintendent of the Tucson Unified, which is the second largest school district, public school district in the state of Arizona. Dr. Trujillo, school will be starting before you know it. It's hard to believe that first week of August, all of your facilities, all of your schools and your portfolio, and I believe the number is 82, is that right?
Am I close?
89, okay. So this is a period where you have to get, in many cases, 1950s, early 1960s facilities up to, ready to welcome students the first week of August. Will there be security changes? And what do you do in quote, the off season?
Well, right now there's a tremendous amount of work going on throughout the district. Typically, and right now what's happening, the months of June and July, all 89 campuses are experiencing the summer deep clean, where our operations division is organized into squads. One of the nice things that we do is we employ our bus drivers to serve on these deep cleaning squads, and they tackle groups of schools. They go in, they do the floors, they do the fixtures, they
wow.
do the windows, they do the grounds, and make
and
sure
it gives
that
them a little extra employment
it does.
Through the summer months.
It's a great way yeah. for us to promote the retention of our bus drivers who don't work the full year. So we have that going on. We have the relentless pursuit of highly qualified teachers in every classroom. So daily we've got teacher interviews going on, trying to hire as quickly as we can. We've got several district level positions that we're still interviewing candidates and trying to fill. So it is a very, very busy summer. And one of the things I'm most excited about is the installation of our keyless entry systems that our governing board approved the expenditure for a few months ago.
They'll be ready for the fall?
They will be ready, and all of our schools will have them installed by the end of the 4th of July weekend. So we're looking forward to that.
And teachers will be getting a pay raise?
Teachers will be getting a hefty pay raise. And we are very excited that I think part of the life that you live working in the Tucson Unified School District is it's kind of like that airline pilot. The countless times you get it right, there's really not a lot of press. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when there's a mistake, there's a ton of press. Well, our board got this one right. They adopted a salary package that now makes steps 1 through 10 some of the highest paid teacher steps in Southern Arizona. And that's a good thing.
That's a game changer for you, isn't it?
It really is. It's a game changer. We know that all the data points that we look at internally and nationally scream that teacher quit decisions, leaving their school, leaving their districts, leaving their professions, are most likely to happen at years 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just made those years extremely financially attractive.
How about teacher vacancies going into early August?
Teacher vacancies, we are doing a little better. We've seen an improvement over this time last year. We're still right above 100 right now, which my goal is to be on pace to get as close to zero as possible. We're still 8 weeks in front of school. I think it would be a tremendous victory to have fewer than one vacancy per school, meaning that magic number would be fewer than 89 teaching vacancies, which would show good growth.
One of our Facebook friends just sent me a message to ask you, why is TUSD suing to get the Latino plaintiffs off the multi-decades-long desegregation case?
No, that's a great question, and that's one of those miscommunications. It's a perception out there. At no time has the Tucson Unified School District ever filed a formal motion with the court to remove the Mendoza plaintiffs from the case. At no time has our board ever adopted or approved any kind of a motion to remove them from the case, because we've never brought one to them. What we have seen is the Tucson Unified's opinion that we have complied with all provisions of the Unitary Status Plan as it pertains to the Mexican-American student plaintiff group's portion of the Unitary Status Plan. That's a radically different statement than saying get rid of the plaintiff representative. So thank you for the opportunity to clarify that.
And, of course, it's been 40 years that TUSD was put under that federal desegregation court order. We had the board president, Tucson Unified Board President, Dr. Mark Stegeman, as my guest last week, and he predicted that within 4 years, the wheels will be in motion to basically end the DSEG order. What do you think?
I agree. I think that's a relatively accurate time frame, because here's how that breaks down. We have been recommended by the special master to the federal court for release from court supervision in 26 provisions of this unitary status plan. Okay, so we've also been assigned what are called completion plans, sets of tasks and responsibilities and programs we need to implement in the areas that remain under court supervision. We have the 18-19 school year to implement those plans, okay? Then the 19-20 school year becomes what's called a filing year, where we could file for unitary status. That process takes a year. Then you'll get a ruling probably at the end of the 19-20 school year. The ruling could be objected to by the plaintiffs. And if there are formal objections, that could take up to a year to be reviewed and heard. So I think Dr. Stegeman is reading it correctly in terms of you're really looking at a 3 to 4 year timeline when you break it down.
When it ends, would the money just, federal money that comes in, what is it, $60 million a year or something like that, does that go away right away, or would that be phased out?
The money would be phased down. Districts, when they reach unitary status, they usually have a couple of options. They are responsible for maintaining the core practices and initiatives and programs that lifted them out of segregation status. So it's not that a district can be released from court supervision and then it's a free rein to backslide. So you have a couple of options. You can enter into what's called a post-unitary status plan, which is a formal, kind of like what we have now, a formal set of commitments to implement initiatives and programs heavily monitored. Or you can go into a maintenance of effort model, where you commit to implementation of programs and initiatives to maintain the conditions that created the release for court supervision. That requires an annual report. It's monitored on a quarterly, if not annual, basis, not necessarily by the plaintiff representatives, but by the judge and by the court. So there are different approaches to how that happens. And ultimately, of course, our governing board will determine the direction on a post-unitary world for our district.
And I think getting back to what the parents and what the students probably really care about is getting a good education. And that leads me to student achievement and scores and all of that. We'll know soon here, probably in the coming weeks, how we are doing at Tucson Unified as improving the overall academic picture.
We are very excited that the scores are going to be coming out. Right now they're embargoed, so I can speak very generally that I believe that the parents and the community members and the taxpayers are going to see significant steps forward, particularly with our high schools, particularly with eighth grade math, and particularly with grades with third grade, and I think the other big grade for us was seventh. And overall, there's a lot of systemic growth in both math and English language arts achievement. So we are looking forward to the unveiling of those scores. That's the first step in returning the Tucson Unified School District to its status as the premier K-12 choice for parents. You've got to get student achievement up.
All right, Ray, do we have time to work? Yes, we can take one more call here with Dr. Trujillo. Jenny has called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Jenny.
Yes, hello. I was just curious. I know we had some callers prior, some parents asking about moving up the football organization and THS as far as to the number one. What exactly was the purpose of that with AIA, and where's our funding coming from to get the players there and all of the teams?
Okay, thank you, Jenny. Again, another question. This is a pretty hot topic. We could probably do a whole hour on high school sports with Dr. Trujillo.
Go ahead. And thank you, Jenny, for the call, and thank you for the question and your support of Tucson High Athletics. Really much appreciated. The AIA predominantly bases its decisions on the alignment of conferences on the size of the student body. And that's what we've seen in this case. Tucson High is 3,100. It needs to go into the Valley Metro region with other schools like Paradise Valley High School and Cesar Chavez High School and all of these giant Maricopa County schools, which has created the current situation. When we push back and say it should be based off of the competitiveness of the conference, it should be based off student needs and travel, those are suggestions we make, but ultimately it's the AIA exec board that will determine. Now, great question about funding.
Yeah.
We're on our own. We have to make it happen.
Yeah, the bus trips, right? Yeah.
And we will make it happen. It is life in a public school district. We do not want our student athletes going without. I mentioned the implementation of a student advisory period at Tucson High, which should give our student athletes a daily opportunity to catch up on any of the classwork that they may fall behind in due to these travel requirements.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, we will have you back in time for the opening of school in early August. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
We'll be right back. Buckmaster at mid-show point now, 12:30. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show here as we wait for, well, the official monsoon season begins tomorrow. And that would be very odd, and it is going to be odd when we finally get some rain, hopefully tomorrow, to mark the beginning of the monsoon. It used to be all tied to dew point, but they made it easier and said June 15th. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico will probably get some rain. We hope so. It's one of our fine sponsors. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area in the southwestern United States, only about a 3-hour drive. It's 10 to 15 degrees cooler over there because of the elevation and lots to do, including the hiking at the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Hank Amos to the program. George H. Amos III, specifically. Mr. Amos, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your family, really, from almost day one, but I did a quick check before you came in. It was 1911, and the first Amos didn't really found the—he was not the founder of the company, but he kind of came to work there at Tucson Realty.
He did.
He was like sweeping floors and
right.
everything
so
else,
he was a youngster. Came out. He came out here with his mother at the turn of the century.
Where'd they come from?
From Michigan.
Okay.
And he started off as a rent collector. He swept floors and the spittoons back then. You know, that was big.
Sure.
And became a rent collector.
Mm-hmm.
Right before it became Tucson Realty and Trust Company, it was known as Haynes and Colon.
Hmm.
And one of the partners got in an argument with the other. They had a gunfight.
Really?
One shot the other, and that's how the bullseye came.
Oh, my goodness.
At least that's how it's been told.
Yeah. Was anyone injured?
Lore.
Anyone injured in the gunfight?
Yeah, one of the partners passed away.
Oh, jeez. So you're the third generation of Amos that has been running the place, and there is a fourth generation, but is he at all interested?
He's interested in real estate. But I think he wants to go to a city that has a little bit more ups than downs, right?
At least for the time being. Right.
Time being.
All right. Overall, how do you see this mid-year point? We're getting ready to close out on the fiscal year. How are things looking for you?
So, you know, I've been coming on for years.
Well, you've been doing the radio show for 7.5 years. I believe you did TV with me for about 20 years.
Yes,
so
for a long time.
This report you're going to give today would be the most optimistic since
at the end of 2005.
Whoa.
And I would say regarding commercial real estate, and we'll talk a little bit about residential too because I have those numbers, it's about as good as it's been. And it may be even better than 2005. We can go back to maybe the mid-80s, like 85 and 86. I don't know if it's quite where 86 is, but it's pretty darn close. So a big turnaround because, as we've talked about, the past 11 years have been kind of brutal for Tucson's economy, especially for commercial real estate. There's been pockets that have done well. But really all segments, and we'll kind of go over them quickly, in commercial real estate are doing well. So for an example, you know, retail, the vacancy, it wasn't a few years ago that you'd drive down the street, every strip center had signs, right?
Pretty much deserted.
Deserted. So now the vacancy is only 5.5%.
Whoa.
And you know, that's just great. And rental rates have continued to creep up. Industrial, so, you know, forever and ever, industrial was 12% or 15% vacancy.
I remember once it was 18%.
Exactly. There you go. And now,
tell me what it is now.
So now overall it's 7%. But if you take the 100,000 square foot buildings up, because we had a couple of those, it's really down around 4.7, okay?
Whoa.
I think almost 4.5 right now. Oh. So that's doing very well. We get to, you know, office. The office market, which we talked about before, where rental rates were where they were back in the mid-80s, and they're rebounding from that right now. But vacancy right now is just under 9%,
mm-hmm.
and we're starting to see the rental rates going up in office. And then we talk about multifamily. Multifamily
apartments.
Yeah, apartments have been doing very well for the last few years, especially for sales, because everybody's trying to buy something that has yield or return, because you're not getting that in the T-bill rates or whatever. So, you know, where can I get yield? And so they've been buying that. And so there's been a feeding frenzy. We're actually seeing cap rates in the low fives, which is unheard of. Even so-so apartments are in the mid-sixes or so for apartments. So they've been selling. But the great thing there is vacancy is now 5.5%. Okay. Mm. And rental rates that for years and years and years just did not move are moving dramatically. And they've really increased and all. So, you know, and then you look at, you know, there's no overbuilding, okay, because there's 94% occupancy. So you can continue to see rents for apartments continue to go up, because, you know, supply and demand. Mm-hmm. So when everything's filled up.
Nobody's building apartments.
Well, they're starting to build apartments.
Are they really?
Right. And, okay. and there's been about almost 3,000 apartments, I say 2,800 apartments, Class A, built in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Now, what is interesting, and you make a good point, is that, you know, back, so 50% of the existing apartments in Tucson were built in the 80s.
Were they really?
24% were built in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So that means 74% of our apartments are from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Now we're starting to build new product, because back then they were really small, one bedroom, one bath. Mm-hmm. And that's 48% of our apartments are one bedroom, one bath.
Yeah.
Now it's just the opposite when you talk about student housing.
Right.
So 74% of our student housing has been built since 2000. So mm-hmm. it's pretty relatively new. So really interesting things. Even though the rent's going up, it still represents about 17% of our income compared to San Diego, which is in the low 30s.
And the kids, when they come back to the U in August, rentals may be tight.
Rentals are going to be tight. Now, there's some new projects, you know, coming on board, so that's going to help out. But they're renting for about $1,000 a bed. That, you know, used to get, the apartment room, right? Well, now it's per bed, and they're anywhere from $1,000 to $1,100 a bed.
So your picture is very bright, and, of course, downtown has just been really taken off.
It all started because of Rio Nuevo, and when you create those type of incentives, you'll get private developers coming in and taking advantage of that. And our downtown was the catalyst that kind of kicked it off. So obviously the economy's gotten better. Some people might call it the Trump wave, but it's happening all over the country where our economy is really performing very well. That prosperity has reached our shores, okay, and we're getting better. But the catalyst to get Tucson going was Rio Nuevo.
How big a deal was the Amazon warehouse?
You know, I think it's a great deal. I mean, anytime you get 2,000 jobs, I mean, who's going to complain?
You said there were a couple of big warehouses still that had
over 100,000 square
feet.
Yeah,
that seems to be kind of a benchmark for kind of the big boys.
Yeah. Yes. Well, 75,000 or more.
And you said there's a couple like that.
There's a couple. There's the Pella building, and there's Lisa Frank building. And,
okay.
There's folks kind of looking at that right
so
now.
So the Amazon thing could stimulate others.
Well, I think Amazon came here mainly because it's part of their business model. Their business model is you pick up the phone and order it, and we're going to deliver it to you that
day. Geographical location.
So those fulfillment centers,
yes.
Phoenix has three of them.
Wow.
We have a general population of 1 million.
So the needed one.
They
here.
Need a fulfillment center.
Okay.
Right. So they came here and they did. But it's great. It's jobs. And that's on the backs of the Raytheon announcement, Caterpillar. Mm-hmm. So we're getting
Geico Geico had a couple thousand jobs. They wanted kind of their location to be enhanced or improved. Mm-hmm. We gave them that, so they're staying in town.
They're staying in town.
People knock call center jobs, but they're jobs.
They're jobs. But, you know, Tucson does. There was a report that came out. I don't know if you saw it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which unfortunately ranked Tucson the 31st worst city to live in the United States. Mm. And one of the things that kind of came out that is basically 1 in 4 are in poverty in Tucson. And that's not good.
You know,
so jobs are important. And when you make that point that Mm-hmm. Call center jobs, they're mm-hmm. jobs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we need that. We need to kind of bring prosperity to our community.
All right. The residential market is red hot. But before we get into that, why don't we take our break right here, and we'll come back with Hank Amos from Tucson Realty. If you have any questions, want to weigh in on what we are talking about, join the conversation, 790-2040. Hank sticks around for another segment. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality, for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
It is the Buckmaster Show. Great news from one of our sponsors, Green Things. We love Green Things on their 13-acre site over on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Well, here's the good news. Zocalo, which for years has been the home of great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America over at the corner, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Well, Green Things has purchased Zocalo. And so the Zocalo is moving to the Green Things site. Well, before, why move all the merchandise when you can deeply discount it now? Before, it's a pre-moving sale basically going on right now at Zocalo. Check it out near Country Club and Broadway. Zocalo, they've been around forever. They have a great reputation. People love them. Well, they're still going to be around, but they'll be over at Green Things. Hank Amos is with us for our Well, every 6 month visit, we like to talk to Hank, kind of get an overview. We heard, if you're just joining us, we heard a very optimistic report from Mr. Amos, probably the most optimistic report he has given here on the Buckmaster Show, first on TV, now radio, going back to probably 2006. So in the past 12 years, this is about as good as it gets right now, Hank.
It's about as good as it gets.
And how about real estate on the it's an area
residential
that, residential it's something that Tucson Realty was involved with for decades, but then got out of that. But still, it's important to what you do in commercial.
It is, and I want to thank Ginger from Bright Future, who kind of gives me those numbers for there. So I want to give her some credit. But you know, residential has been doing fantastic.
What's driving that?
Well, I think it's a couple things. Is finally the economy is improving across the rest of the country, right? And as the economy improves across the country, people can sell their homes and then relocate so they can get out of the cold. And there have been some brutal winters the past few winters. They can get out of the cold and they can come here. And then if you look at people and how they work, they don't necessarily have to be in an office anymore. They can work remotely, and so they're not stuck to maybe certain jobs. You don't have to live in the city anymore to do that. You can live in a community that has, you know, 360 days of sunshine a year,
right,
and enjoy that. So you're having that. And then we're starting to have some jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So the jobs are starting to come, and I think it's a combination of that. And the University of Arizona, Banner, you know, there's people coming for Banner coming in. So that combination of all that has been driving our residential market, and they're off to another record year. So last year was a record year. The year before that was a record year. This year's a record year. So to kind of give you an example of what's going on, so new home sales, they're up 11.8%, almost 12%.
Okay? Year to year?
Whoa. So far this year. Okay. So far this year, they're up 11.8% compared to this point a year ago.
Okay.
Right. If you look at resales, traditional, they're up 6.7% over last year. So, you know, the market is really, really strong. And you talk to folks, and normally our market in residential will start right after Super Bowl. That's when you have your open houses, and all of a sudden the traffic starts coming. So it's kind of dead through January and half of February. Right after the Super Bowl, the market starts. It peaks at March 31st. And it kind of tapers off until like the first week of June. That's traditionally the market, right? These guys were busy the first week of January, which is unusual.
I wonder if they'll be busy this summer.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. You know, I mean, people are taking advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, with interest rates moving up too, sometimes when you have negative news, and I don't want to say it's negative because we're still at pretty much historic lows compared to where it was back in the day, but when that starts moving up, you have less buying power.
Right.
So that spurs people to purchase homes too as well, and that may be, you know, adding a little fuel to the fire. But we're looking at single-family permits for new home builders up 11.2%. The average price of a new home hasn't really much changed, which I found that kind of unusual. But they already have had some significant price increases. The average price for a home right now is about $329,000 for a new home. For resale, and I'm excluding foreclosures and the average price of a home is about $236,500. Mm-hmm. It's up about 6.3% from the previous year. So values are going up. Sales are strong. The market's strong. Everybody in real estate is doing well, whether you're in the commercial real estate market, all segments are doing well. Whether you're in real estate, residential real estate, that market is off to a record year. So this is a great report, and it's nice. You know, you hear it feels good to win,
and
we're winning.
So would this be considered what they call a seller's market?
I don't know.
As a seller, you know, you can really maybe do very well right now.
Well, when you have – so let's talk about commercial real estate. If you have cap rates at pretty much all-time lows, I mean, I haven't seen them this low before, now's the time to sell because it's always sell high, buy low, right? Now, some folks, you know, where am I going to put that money after I sell
it? Yeah, where are you going to park the money?
Right, where am I going to park the money? So they're saying I might as well, you know, have it. But a lot of investors, you know, they're at a certain age point where, you know, I want to take my chips off the table. So mm-hmm. if you're at that point, now's the time to sell it. And that market in residential, whether it's mm-hmm. a seller's market, it's definitely a seller's market where you're in that 150 to 350 right. price range. That mm-hmm. market is off the charts. The million,
you can move a home in that market, in other words.
overnight. You know, that market is very, very strong. But at the higher end,
right.
a million or more, or even a little bit lower than a million, that market is not that strong. So it's still a buyer's market in that regard.
And the real high-end stuff.
That's going to change a little bit as more of these companies like Raytheon and Caterpillar, or those folks are coming into town.
So inventory of homes is shrinking?
I would say, well, so what's happening right now is, yes, because as those homes are selling,
right,
the inventory is shrinking, and the builders haven't had, you know, they haven't been able to catch up to the demand, right?
Right.
And that's because there's all that land out there that they have to rezone and plat and then put the improvements in there. So you have builder lots or production lots for builders. And there's a shortage of production lots for builders. So, you know, those prices, I think, are really going to start going up more. Where they're at, they're doing everything to keep the prices down, but you're going to see that going up. But that inventory is shrinking, and as the inventory shrinks, especially in the resale market, you're, as we've seen, a 6.3% increase, you're going to continue to see an increase in home prices.
So if you have land to sell, like in the central foothills, it's going up.
It's going up, but there's still some land, you know, around there. Obviously, you know, well, single family lot, that right. those prices are going up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, land for production housing, you know, in Oro Valley, you're sitting on gold.
Mm. What did you think about actress Diane Keaton dropping $327
a foot
per square foot on an adobe row house in downtown Tucson?
It's nice to be mad at your money. Evidently, she has a lot of it.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, that's good for Tucson, though.
Yeah,
right.
So you had just said kind of the high end market was a little soft.
Well, suppose
stuff like this could be very good for them.
Right. Well, if you have a ton of money, right,
mm,
and
right.
if you see something you like, you're going to buy it, right?
Right.
And she loves that area. She's been looking in the barrio for a while,
mm-hmm.
and finally found what she was looking for. But those sellers found a unicorn. And they got lucky, and that's great. But it's great publicity for Tucson mm-hmm. to have somebody of her stature saying, hey, look, I want to live in Tucson, Arizona.
Right.
We need more of those individuals to say that.
So overall, you're saying things are looking very positive, but you're still very concerned, like with that, with the report that shows basically one out of four people in our valley do live in poverty. And it's been that way, unfortunately, for a long, long time, as you well know. I mean, you're a native here. You know that.
Well, we've talked about this
yeah.
before in the past. You know, back in the 80s, we were on everybody's top five list. Top five best place to live, top five best place for business, top five fastest growing, top five for tech. You name it, we were there, right? And we had that anti-growth movement come into our community, and they took over the city council, they took over the board of supervisors, and they shut down growth. They shut it down. And you just can't turn that spigot on.
You're talking the early 90s.
I'm talking, you know, in 87 is mm-hmm. when it started, and it obviously picked up steam in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the feeling. We don't want growth, right? So
looking to Portland as a model, right?
Well, yeah. maybe looking to Portland, but they just, you know, no, we don't want to blaze any more
right.
saguaros.
Okay.
And so when that happens, there's a cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And a cause, and the effect was, okay, companies aren't going to move here anymore because they're not friendly towards businesses, and everything was difficult. We were going to have IBM make another big announcement. Motorola was going to come out here. We told all these guys, get lost, all right, basically. And so we were competing neck and neck with Austin.
Motorola canceled the announcement the night before, actually.
It was horrible. And there was another big company that was going to come out here too, and that's why IBM mm-hmm. said, you know, mm-hmm. we're not going to go through
yeah.
that. So But fortunately, a couple of years ago, Chuck and Sharon did an about mm-hmm. face and yeah. said, you know what? Growth is important, because when you don't have growth and businesses leave and your community starts to die, you're not getting the property taxes, because the values are going down, so the property taxes are going down. You're not getting the sales taxes. And they saw that, and they said, hey, you know what? But it doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And we're starting, you know, fortunately, mm-hmm. things are starting to turn around. Thank God for Rio Nuevo. And I think Tucson is getting better, but we got a way to go. We're the only city in the state of Arizona that ranked on that list, the top 50, you know, mm-hmm. worst cities in the country. Mm-hmm. And our crime is more than double the national average. So the things that we have to work on, but we're starting to see the improvement. We're starting to see our streets get a little bit better. But we still have a ways to go, and okay. we still need to focus on jobs.
Hank Amos, have a great summer. We'll talk to you as the year progresses. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Mike's show host, Mike's the host, and then Ray Allen helping out from 4 to 6 tomorrow morning. It's Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster. Speaking of Chuck, Mr. Huckleberry will be my guest tomorrow at noon, our Friday Focus interview on The Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ray Allen, Hank Amos, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.